Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to you Des Moines people coming to Chicagoland. That's great. I was reading in this week in Colossians where Paul said in Colossians 3, 1 through 3, he said, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." And when we came to Christ, we died to our old selves and we were reborn to our new selves, a new identity. And we're now called saints and our lives are now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. And so let's stand and join our new identity as believers who are hidden in Christ, saints that are hidden with Christ in God. Let's stand as we sing and worship Him.
Well, good morning, everyone. You know, I appreciate what Mark was sharing there about the simple truth of Christianity. You know, in the late 1960s and early 70s, some men and women thought that God was calling them to go around the country and speak to people about what they knew about Christianity. So people don't know, and we're going to try and see if God uses it. And that became a church movement, and now there's churches in the Midwest, there's churches in Europe, and there's churches in Latin America, and probably some other places I'm forgetting, because of those people who are faithful to try and explain the truth of God to people. And some people said, "Oh, I don't know about that," but some people said, "Oh, that's true. I cannot stand before a holy God." And we thank them for that. In one of our churches, we have a group here from Des Moines, and that's who's visiting today. So thank you for coming today. Welcome. Welcome. So as part of our service starting today, we have a little confession time. So I just started this right now on the spot. So who here in the room went to bed and got to sleep before midnight? This side of the room. How about before 1 a.m.? Not many hands. Two? Well, we'll have more confession later. So, anyway, welcome. Thank you for being here today. A few announcements coming up. The next women's Bible study is on March 24th, 7 o'clock here at the church. So if you'd like to attend that, it is every other week. It's a good time to just look at the Word and the promises, what we can trust God for together. A reminder, in just under 2 weeks, our regional GCLI, a Great Commission Leadership Institute, is here. One of the things we're talking about is what is true discipleship and looking at trends that are happening in American Christianity and things you can do and the church can do to be ready for the future as our culture changes. You can register on our website. The link is in your bulletin if you have any questions about that. Mike is going to come up in just 20 or 30 minutes and do a teaching. We do have some notes. If you didn't get any notes, could you raise your hand? We'd like to get you a copy. Looks like everyone got one. Okay. Gwen will get you some. I've got some here. And we'll get you a copy if you can follow along. So that is it for our Sunday morning announcements. This is the time in our service where we will take the offering. So the ushers will come forward. If you're visiting today, please don't feel obligated to give in this part of our service. Thank you.
All right, well, Dean said I wasn't going to teach for another 20 minutes, so we're going to have 20 more minutes of offering, so dig deep. Let's go. One more round. Bring them down. No, just kidding. We don't do that here at Glen Arbor. Well, welcome you guys. I always appreciate Mark choking up on the gospel because, you know, if you're going to choke up on anything, the gospel should choke us up. We should be moved by what God did on the cross, and it's great to see Mark's heart and to sing about that as well. We welcome you guys from Des Moines. I know you're the high school group, right? Well, our high school group did an exciting thing last night that I wanted to point out, and they had cake decorating instruction party. So that was cool. Thanks to Mr. Fulmer. Where is he? You know, here we like are giving him a little credit. He's not even in the room. And Kelly, raise your hand, Kelly. She helped out. Let's give them a big hand. From what I understand, it was a huge success, and everyone had a really good time cake decorating, so very cool. We are starting this series called Be Spiritual, or we have started it last week, and as Dean explained last week, it's actually three series in one. So Dean has a four-part series, I have a four-part series, and Greg has a four-part series, and we're interweaving it. So you got to like keep track of all this stuff over the weeks, but we'll review as we go, But the thing is, so Dean's launched this last week about spiritual life, what you always wanted. And so you're going to hear Dean's part two of that message in a couple weeks. And today I'm starting a series on spiritual identity. And then next week, Greg is going to start the series on spiritual communication. And they're all three of these threads are woven around this concept and this idea of being spiritual, that we are new creations in Christ and we're to walk spiritually. And we're going to be talking about, in all of our series, different aspects of that. To be spiritual, to intentionally be spiritual, how we live in the midst of a materialistic, self-centered world. Well, the reason I picked this particular topic is actually the way the Lord works, is that I've been teaching this in our junior high trek ministry for junior hires and over the whole winter. And junior high, as you know, is a really critical time of transition in a person's life between childhood and teenage years. And teenagers or junior highers go through puberty, hormones are flying, and it's a great time of uncertainty in many of our lives. How many of you went through a time of uncertainty when you were a junior higher? Anybody? Okay. You know, that's when your self-image is starting to be formed and your identity. And so it's important. That's why we've been talking about this the last couple months in Trek. And we've had a bunch of kids from the community here, some new kids from the community neighborhood or just around the church come to our junior high time. And, you know, some of them act out a lot. They're a little rough around the edges. And even I, Angie was like, wow, Mike, I never saw you get frustrated before. You know, even I got frustrated one week at the end of the time. And you know, sometimes people wonder, well, why are they going to keep coming back? And they do keep coming back. And I want, you know, because we're always like, don't do that. Don't do this. Sit here. You know, quit throwing the ball through the stained glass window or whatever, you know, things like that. They didn't do that, but that's the kind of things we're talking about. And been a little bit challenging. And I'll tell you why they come back. It's because they're hearing truth about God, and they're hearing truth in the series about their identity. And each week we see some lights come on and some softness in their hearts towards the Word of God. And it's slow progress, but ultimately they're being attracted by the love of God because it's not a message they hear outside the church walls. And they're responding. One boy prayed to receive Christ just with Dean just last Wednesday. Another gal prayed to receive Christ a couple months ago. And with this boy, Dean gave him, at the end of the meeting, this boy came up to me and said, you know, I got a life book. I got to read this before next week. And he was excited about it. I said, all right, yeah, you do that. You know, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of reading. but he's excited about it, you know, being challenged in that way. And so it's been really good. I remember that boy the first week that he came. We were talking about sharing about some difficulties in life when God's not involved. And we were like making a Jenga puzzle, and each one represented like a different difficulty in life, and then how we, you know, without God, the whole thing falls apart. And anyway, I was asking the kids, you know, what's a difficulty in your life? What's something in your life? And he said, I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. What did he say? He said, everything in my life is messed up. He couldn't just think of one thing because he said everything in his life was messed up. See, some come from broken homes, some struggle academically, some live pretty hard lives. And the message that they hear from the world at times are that they're stupid, that they're a problem, that they're a hassle, or that they're good for nothing. Sometimes they might even hear that from their very own closest family members or closest friends. And in the middle of such a brokenness in their world, people can come to church, and they come to church. These kids come to church Wednesday night, and they hear a different message, and that message is that there is a God who loves them and who knows them and wants to have a relationship with them, who values them and is on their side, and that's water to their souls. That's water to anybody's souls that hasn't heard and know about the love of God through Christ. So I thought, well, these are such fundamental concepts for our self-image that we need to teach it to the whole church. And not that we touch on this stuff all the time in different messages, but I don't remember when we've done a whole series just on this topic for years and years, and years at least. And so that's what we're doing, our spiritual identity. So today we're going to be talking about where you came from, and then next time that I speak will be on who you are, who am I? And part three, what am I supposed to do? And then part four, where am I going? So let's pray as we kick this off this morning. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to shine your truth to the community, to people's lives that don't hear this message anywhere else other than the church, from your saints, from your people. And we thank you for the opportunity to be able to do that, to be your mouthpieces, and share your truth with those around us. And we lift up this series to you, Lord, and just ask that you would teach our hearts in a very deep way about who we are, and that our identity, our foundation of our identity, is in you, God. So we commit everyone in this room for that this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Your identity comes from God. Jonathan, my son, was telling me recently, as he was kind of thinking about this, about pop music, that the majority of pop music in the radio, on the radio right now, really falls under two categories. And the first category is party music. Anybody know what party music is? You know, that's your classic music, right? Rock and roll, right? And party on, your general hedonism, really. And most of us know this kind of music, but the second category that he had made me think. And I had really not thought about it, but after talking about it, I really see that this really is a very popular style right now. And that's self-empowerment music. Self-empowerment music. You listen to a lot of pop songs, that's what you hear, is self-empowerment philosophy. It's basically almost like self-help in music. You know, it's basically that you're awesome. You're awesome. Why? Because, well, you just are. You're awesome. You know, believe it. It's true. And but there's no real basis. They never give you any real basis for it. So what's some examples? You know, I know this is a couple years old, but you know that song, Baby, You're a Firework? You know, Baby, You're a Firework. Come on, show them what you're worth. Make them go, ow, ow. You know, I don't even know what that means. All right? I mean, what does that mean? I'm a firework. Show them what I'm worth. What, you know, what does it even mean? I read an article about this online that said, it said, the title of the article was 17 Empowering Songs to Boost Your Self-Esteem. And then the subtitle was, Who Says You're Not Perfect? And it might have been a kind of a lighthearted one, but this is a real thing going on, a real philosophy. And the problem with building your self-esteem around these two main category of ideas is that for party music, that means your self-esteem is really built on others, what others think of you, that you're in the party crowd, that you're, you know, a partier. And but when things fall apart in your life, there's nothing left. Those people aren't around you. All you have left is possibly some addictions that numb your pain when life is hard. And for that second one, self-empowerment, you're basically basing your self-esteem only on yourself. And there's no identity outside of that. And so you try and tell yourself you're great enough times and hope that you believe it. But the problem is when things go south in your life, you have no foundation to stand on. And but the reality is that there is a foundation for your self-identity. And that foundation is solid, and that foundation is a rock. That foundation is God. And if you truly base your life on the identity of God, you will not be shaken even when the storms of life hit you, even when difficulties come and hardships come. The Bible tells us this about who we are. Oh, there's some of the pop people, right? Self-empowerment, party crowd, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God created mankind in his own image. We're created in his image. That means that our roots are in God. Our roots are in God. And we know God is perfect. So what a great root to come from. God is perfect. He's perfectly righteous, perfectly holy, perfectly loving, perfectly good. And we're not like God. We're not God. I mean, we're like God. We're not God. We're not a clone of God. But so we do fall short of that perfection. But God is still our root. He's our model. He's our model. His character is our template in how we were created. And this is in contrast to all other created things. If you read through the creation stories in Genesis, what you'll find is that all the animals and whatnot were created according to their own kind, right? Horses were created according to their own kind. And birds and so forth, sheep. And, you know, that basically means that their identity is rooted only in themselves. They're created according to their own kind. So you could sing, you know, baby, you're a woolly sheep, you know, because that's true. That's all they have, you know, is that's what their identity is based on. They're based after their own kind. But self-empowerment music really works for animals. But Genesis is clear that mankind was not made only after ourselves. Mankind was not made after our own kind, but we were made in the image of God. We have a model, a template that we were made after. And what does it say? It's our genders together. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Our genders together, perfectly together, reflect God's image. We reflect God's image. That's how we were made. See, mankind is special of all of the other creation that God did. All the other creatures, all the other creation. Mankind is special. We share a likeness with God. When you make righteous decisions, we're reflecting God's image. When you love someone, you're reflecting God's image. Now, I don't know about you, but if you haven't noticed, the media is always full of the bad stuff going on in the world. You know, everything bad that's going on, you're going to hear on the media. Every once in a while, you hear a good story. And what happens when you hear that story about someone who went above and beyond in compassion and kindness and love towards somebody? What do you do? You tear up. Has anybody teared up when they hear one of those stories? Yeah. You tear up. And why do you tear up? The reason is because you're seeing a reflection of God's image. That's God's goodness. That's God's love. And we tear up when we understand God, and we tear up when we see others reflecting God's image in this world. Well, you guys know that our family likes to run around and look at different genealogical things. We have a lot of family history and a lot of stuff still out there in this country. And the next month we have another opportunity because, see, one of my great-grandfathers was a painter and an artist. And he designed sets for different stage productions downtown Chicago way back in the day. Oh, it's my great-grandfather. I'm sorry, did I say grandfather? Great-grandfather. And he designed different sets and for stage productions. One of my cousins discovered that there's a passion play down in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, that is still using his sets, his original backdrops from the 1920s. This play has been going on for 94 consecutive years without fail. And they think it's about to be closed up for lack of funds. And so my cousin's like, we got to go down there now. And so we're all going to meet next month. Some of my cousins and aunts and our families are going to meet down in Bloomington Normal and go to the the play the Passion Play production, and oh, these are a couple of the backdrops that was on the website. And we're going to be able to get a backstage tour and see all the sets and stuff like that. So it's going to be really great. And we really like that. And I wonder, why do people like to learn about their ancestry? Why is that? You know, why do we like to learn about it? Why do other people like to learn about it? I think it's because it shows us where we came from, that we didn't just pop out of nowhere in this world, but that we're part of a lineage, that a long lineage, and it gives our perspective on our place of in history, our place of belonging. It gives us our identity. And ultimately, that's true with our lineage in God as well. Here's the second time in Genesis where it talks about man's creation. This is the written account of Adam's family line when God created mankind. He made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. This whole section, if you read it, and I encourage you to read the whole chapter, is talking about the family line of Adam. And where does it start? It starts with God as the Father creating Adam, and then it goes on from there. And this verse shows that we're part of that ancestry as well. If you follow your ancestry up far enough generations, you're going to hit God. And have you ever thought about that? That God is not just your creator, but he's like your ancestor. He's family. And it's good to know where you come from, isn't it? It's good to know that you just didn't pop out of nowhere, but you're a part of God's family. And not only that, it says here that he created them male and female and blessed them. And one commentator I was reading said this: the picture in this chapter that emerges here is of a loving father ensuring the future well-being of his children through the provision of an inherited blessing. And we understand that from one or two generations back, but have you ever thought about that God was like a loving father blessing, leaving an inherited blessing for the generations to come, and that includes you? God took good care of you from the very beginning, the start of mankind. God took good care of you. We know our place in history. We didn't just pop out of nowhere for no particular purpose, for no particular reason, but we have an identity, and that identity comes from God. Your identity also comes from your creator, if we look just at God as creator. Now, you know, we talked about these two different types of pop music, the party music and the self-empowerment music. Well, every once in a while, I said, well, what about these guys that I had just learned about a couple weeks ago? And Jonathan said, well, they're an anomaly. You know, so every once in a while, an anomaly pops up that doesn't fit in those two categories. And I recently just learned of one, just literally just a couple weeks ago. I discovered that a lot of teenagers are listening to one of these anomalies, a band called 21 Pilots. Now, let me just ask, who in this section has ever heard of 21 Pilots? Okay, let's see. How about in this section of the room? Okay, a few. How about in this section? Okay, yeah. All right. Okay, and I just learned about them 2 weeks ago. That's pretty bad, isn't it? But it's interesting, the lead guy in this band is a professing Christian. I think they're both from a Christian background, but it's not a Christian band at all. But they're from Christian backgrounds. The lead guy is very professing in his faith, but like I said, it's not a Christian band. But what I found just in the last couple of weeks is that the lead guy, the guy on the right, on your right, yep. Has a lot of insecurities in his life, right? Is that what you kind of get out of when you listen to his music? He's got a lot of insecurities growing up and through his teenage years, and even insecurities that he still has. And teenagers by the millions are identifying with these insecurities because they have similar insecurities. And he sings about them honestly. He doesn't try to numb them over with party music. Let's just go party. He doesn't try to numb them over with, hey, you're great even if you feel terrible, you know. He just says, I feel terrible. This is what goes through my brain, and he vocalizes that in lyrics. And teens by the millions are flocking to listen to his music because they identify with him and they feel the same way. I just want to play a little bit of one of his hit songs from a few years ago called Car Radio. And this song is talking about a guy. You can get it set up if you want. This song is talking about a guy who loses his car radio and then just has to sit in silence alone with his own thoughts and nothing else. And his thoughts are filled with insecurities and fears. And I think it's really powerful. So let's just listen to a couple minutes of it.
Ponder of something great. My lungs will fill and then deflate. They fill with fire, exhale desire. I know it's dire, my time today. I have these thoughts, so often I ought to replace that slot with what I once bought. Cause somebody stole my car radio, and now I just sit in silence. Sometimes quiet is violent. I find it hard to hide it. My pride is no longer inside. It's on my sleeve, my skin will scream, reminding me of who I killed inside my dream. I hate this car that I'm driving. There's no hiding for me. I'm forced to deal with what I feel. There is no distraction to mask what is real. I can pull the steering wheel. I have these thoughts, so often I ought to replace that slot with what I once bought. Cause somebody stole my car radio, and now I just sit in silence. Something terrifying, because this time there's no sound to hide behind. To find over the course of our human existence, one thing consists of consistence, and it's that we're all battling fear. Oh dear, I don't know if we know why we're here. Oh my, too deep, please stop thinking. I liked it better when my car had sound. There are things we can do, but from the things that work, there are only two, and from the two that we choose to do, peace will win and fear will lose. It is faith and this sleep. We need to pick one, please, because faith is to be awake, and to be awake is for us to think, and for us to think is to be alive. And I will try with every rhyme to come across like I am dying to let you know you need to try to think. I have these thoughts, so often I ought to replace that slot with what I once bought. Cause somebody stole my car radio, and now I just sit in silence.
Wow, that was an abrupt ending. It's a little unnerving sometimes to hear, isn't it? Because it reveals the intensity of the emotions that are going on inside many insecure teenagers today, and many adults, by the way, too. Many different adults as well. The actual music video of the song, which Glenn Arbor's not ready for the actual music video of the song, but the actual music video of the song has over 100 million views. Some of their other songs have close to a billion views on YouTube. It's amazing. And I was read and watched interviews of some fans that go to their concerts, and they talk about how 21 Pilots is a band that understands them, that gets them. And it's funny, I was recently talking to two teenagers. This is all just in the last couple weeks. I was talking to two teenagers who had a friend or relative that recently went to a 21 Pilots concert, and they said that their friend cried through the concert. Both of them, that their friends cried through the concert. Why is that? It's because so many people are lost in their identity, and they're looking for identity and value. And they aren't finding it in the culture, they aren't finding it in the party crowd, they aren't finding it in the self-empowerment crowd. And the world in its ways are leaving them in a sea of uncertainty and insecurity and fears and hopelessness. And that is why having a foundation of our identity in God is so key in an identity of our Creator, and for us to help others to see that, to meet them where they are at and say, I get it, but there is hope, and that hope is in God as our Creator. Psalm 139, one of the most famous verses about God as Creator, said, for you created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know them full well. Psalm 139, 13, 14. This verse talks about, and often when we talk about this verse, and you've heard this verse taught before, if you've been around long enough, it's a classic verse. Often we talk about this verse as just wow, see, God is our creator. So we talk about how this shows that God created our even our innermost being. And other times we talk about this verse, we talk about how we should be okay with how we are because God created us. So, you know, those imperfections in our life, we wish our face was different or our nose or whatever, realize, hey, God made you that way for a reason, to give us some peace about that. But do you know what else this verse also shows that I looked at this week? Is it shows the psalmist's identity, his identity rooted in God as creator. And if you read this from that perspective, you see the psalmist has a very strong, strong awareness in his life of God as creator. In other words, the psalmist has nailed his identity, that his identity comes from God and God as creator. And the fruit is what? That he's praising God. So you created my inmost being, you knit me together, and what does he say? I praise you. That's the response, because his identity is so deeply rooted in his soul that God, that he comes from God, that God is his creator. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He understands that. He understands it in a deep way. He says, your works are magnificent, wonderfully made. And it's all turned his attention towards God. He says he knows it full well. Deep in his soul, he understands his identity is rooted in God as creator. And the results are that he's got his eyes fixed on God, not fixed on himself. Contrast that with the insecurities of the character portrayed in that 21 Pilots song. And the character in that song lacks a strong identity, lacks that identity, and lacks that peace and confidence. And his identity is undefined. And he can't even handle being alone by himself with his thoughts because his identity is so messed up inside of him. He's on a death spiral of despair. And this is so common in so many people. I know in our extended family in different states, we know of at least two, there might be three, I can't remember. It's been a while, but at least three teenagers, cousins, that cut themselves because of their identity. And they think that they're bad. They think that they're bad, you know, and they cut themselves. And that's because their identity is not at peace like the psalmist's and rooted in God as creator. Let's look at another verse. It says, but now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? And the phrase that I want you to underline, or that I want to highlight today, is, or rather are known by God. Now that you know God, underline, or rather are known by God. You are known by God. And I think of this when we think of our identity. We want to be known by someone, isn't it? Don't we? We want to be known, you know. And who knows us better than God? I think of my at my work, software development. When I want to know how some software works, I don't go and ask the office manager. I don't go and ask the customer service support guys. Where do I go? I go to the developer of the software. He's the one that knows the software the best. And God is our creator, knows us the best. And that deep desire of our soul to be known, we long for a relationship where someone knows us, don't we? We long for that relationship, that someone really gets us and knows us. And for some reason, that brings a security in our lives when we realize, wow, this person knows me. And the truth is that you have someone like that in your life. You have a relationship like that, and that person is God. He knows you. He gets you. He knows you all, everything about you, more than you even know yourself. And we can have such security and when we understand that God knows us. Not only that, the deeper meaning of this verse is actually that God, are known by God, it's that he initiated with you in your salvation. He favored you. He showed you, he gave you attention, initiated with you when you came to Christ. And that leads into our last aspect, that your identity comes from your Savior. So, before we came to faith in Christ, God initiated us. As the Father draws us, the Spirit convicts us, Jesus died for us, Everything that we needed to come to faith in Christ was initiated to us by God, and we responded. And in one sense, it's good to not have too high of a self-esteem, because that's a person that is not going to even see their need for God because they're so self-efficient in and of themselves. But what we're talking about today, which is more often the case, including with Christians, is having too low of a self-esteem, too low of a self-image, too low of a view of themselves. And as we've talked about that, the world's strategies of that just don't work. The world's strategies for dealing with low self-image just don't work. To drown out your pain or to muscle through it. But God's way of dealing with it is to renew our minds with the truth. And the truth is that our identity comes from God, comes from our Creator, comes from our Savior. Not with positive thoughts, but with truth. The truth of who we are now in Christ. And we're going to cover that in detail in part two next time that I speak. But as an example, let's just look at the truth of this one verse in Ephesians. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the truth. You are God's handiwork. This is the truth. You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So you can't rely on positive thoughts to give you your identity. And you can't rely on what other people think of you. And you can't even rely on your own gut, what your own gut tells you, because your gut tells you a lot of terrible things about yourself often. You can't rely on that. You've got to rely on the truth of who you are in Christ. So if you think that you're a failure, that is a lie. That is a lie, because you are God's handiwork. That is the truth. If you think that you're worthless, that is an outright lie, because you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And if you think to yourself, I have no value, I'm not valued, that is a lie, because God prepared in advance these good works for you to do. He has a purpose for you, a reason for you. Obviously, he has great value in you if he did that. That is the truth. So my advice, as I thought about this, when you're thinking about your identity, my advice is this: quit looking in the mirror to get your identity. Look to the Bible. I repeat that. Quit looking in the mirror to get your identity. Instead, look to the Bible. Rather than entering that death spiral of self-wallowing, instead, focus on the truth of who you really are in Christ. Renew your mind with that truth. In fact, let's just take a moment right now in the quietness of your heart. This verse, Ephesians 2, is up on the screen, and it's in your notes if you have your notes out. And just take a minute in the quietness of your heart and just be silent for a minute and say, what does your gut tell you about yourself? And then look at these verse and pray this verse that it's true, that you will believe these things that God says about you, that you will try to believe these things that God says about you, even if yourself tells you otherwise. So just take a minute and pray, and then we'll close up. Amen. I encourage you this week to spend some more time with the Lord thinking about this and thinking about where your identity, where your gut doesn't tell you the truth. What is your gut telling you What is your self telling you that doesn't align with the truth of who you really are? And take that to the Lord in prayer. Journal about that. Take that to people that you trust, people that are close to you, other Christians, family members, and say, wow, I believe this in my gut about myself, and I know it's not true. Can I get some help to deal with that? That my identity, that I would know full well, just like that psalmist did, that God is my creator, that that's my identity, that God loves me, that he is for me and who I am. Here's a conclusion that Paul gave in Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, sealed at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's your identity. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And that's a good place to be, isn't it? Amen? That's a really, really good news and good place to be. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time. And these are really hard things, God. I ask that you would break through in our lives, Lord, those lies that we believe about ourselves, Lord. Those things that are just not true. They're not really true about our identity. You have the truth about who we are, Lord. Help us to believe it. Help us to be healed of those lies that we believe, Lord, that we might know you full well in a deep way, like the psalmist did, that we root and find our identity in you as God, as creator, as savior. Lord, change our hearts. Mold us to be at peace in our identity with you. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.